This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Good morning, good morning, good afternoon. You're here live with Dr. Jeff Werber, host for the next 30 minutes on Pet Life Radio. Ask the Best with Dr. Jeff and on Instagram Live. Here for you, here for your pets. Any questions you may have, now is the time to ask. Get your pets. If they're with you, put them on your lap. And, well, for you guys, we have to just talk this way. For Pet Life Radio, we can actually go ahead and see you. For Instagram, we have to do that off the air, which I'd be happy to do, as you know. You can always get a hold of me on AirVet as well. Couple of guys, get a hold of me, 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. You can also join me live here on Pet Life Radio just by, well, you're here. Just have your pet on your lap. Say you want to talk to me, and we will let you in and talk to you here. Ask away. So while we were getting the show started, we had a question. Could vaccines cause heart issues in old dogs? I would say probably not. But if you have old dogs in general, I am pretty conservative when it comes to vaccines. You know, if the lifestyle of a dog is such that they are not going to be in a position to contract a disease from other dogs, then I'm okay with not vaccinating. You didn't hear from me, but it's just my thought. Now, rabies, a different story. Rabies is required by law. So in order for me to tell someone they don't need rabies and not give it, I would have to prove that this dog is extremely infirm, never can go out, can't walk, can't get up. I mean, it's just there. It's hanging on. Then I can probably say, you know, I'm afraid to give the rabies shot. From an immune standpoint, however, dogs can handle dozens upon dozens of antigens, which they do every day. So we give it, whether it's a vaccine or something, a natural antigen in the environment, the body can handle it. The reason that we are concerned about vaccines or over-vaccinating or giving too many vaccines in one day is not the actual antigen. It's the adjuvant. It's the preservative. It's the other thing that goes into a vaccine. That's where they react. So, you know, it's interesting because we have these people that complain about the bivalent vaccines. They want to give distemper separate from parvo. But in reality, the distemper antigen is not a problem. The parvo antigen is not a problem. It is the vaccine. So if they're combined into one vaccine with only one preservative and one adjuvant, then it's the same. It's actually more potentially damaging to separate and give one a week or two or three later. So, you know, those are the things to keep in mind. But do I like giving a ton of vaccines at once? No. And for actually for small breeds, I break them up a lot. Bigger breeds can probably handle a little bit more, but still I try to be extremely, extremely cautious. Now, as far as specific heart issues, I can't tell you yes or no for sure. I have not heard, I've not had problems with it. We treat many, many a dog that have heart disease. So I'm not that concerned, but if there is an article or something, Martin, that you've read that might indicate that, please send it my way. I'll take a look at it, see how, you know, peer reviewed it is, see what, you know, where, what article, what magazine or journal it's coming from. And then maybe we could talk about this one day. But as far as I know, there's no warnings that we've gotten as practicing veterinarians to not give vaccines to animals that have heart disease. Okay. Hey, B, laryngeal paralysis does regress dog ages. Okay. Let's talk about that. That's a good one. Okay. So laryngeal paralysis happens usually in older dogs. It happens a lot in retrievers. I'd say Labradors, Goldens, we see it a lot. German Shepherd dogs, we see it a lot. So basically, it is a condition where it says the larynx, the voice cords, right, the vocal cords actually become paralyzed. And therefore, they flutter and they get in the way with breathing because they can't pull them back. In fact, the treatment of choice is what's called a tie back. And we only tie back one side because if you tie back both, then the larynx can never close up. And then almost everything that goes in the mouth is a potential danger for aspiration. So the treatment, therefore, is usually only done on the one side. Now, does it get worse with age? Yes, it usually does progress. We don't like to fix it unless it is really bad and needs fixing. It actually impedes the dog's ability to breathe, or they're coughing so badly, they're gasping for air. Now, the problem is, in the two breeds I mentioned that we seem to see it most often, which are these big hunting breeds, you have the Goldens and Labs are the most popular, then these dogs are often swimmers. And the danger is that when they're swimming, they are breathing as they're swimming. When they can't close the larynx and prevent matter, in this case, water, from getting down the trachea into the lungs, then that poses a huge problem with potential aspiration pneumonia. So these dogs that have had the tieback procedure are more prone to aspiration. So we got to be very, very, very careful. Dogs that are swimmers may not be able to swim. I know, fortunately, in my many years of having Labradors, knock on wood, I've never had a dog with LP, but laryngeal paralysis, but something that I wouldn't say it's common, but it's not uncommon. When it comes to medical ease, it's one time that a double negative, it doesn't fit. Usually, if you say something, it is not common, right? And then you think, well, it doesn't happen very often. Not uncommon means it does happen. It does happen. So we use that double negative. It doesn't mean exactly the same as not common. So we do see it. We do see it. I've seated and sent many for surgery. I don't do that surgery. I send it to a surgeon, a board certified surgeon. But yes, it does happen. Now, 15 and a half year old dog is getting weekly IV Serenia half ursodiol for vestibular disease. Ursodiol is interesting. Liver and kidneys, number, blood test show numbers went down. Recommend to get renal K. Okay, so yes, I mean, if dogs that are that age often have kidney disease, so to give it the Serenia that controls the vomiting, because as the BUN, blood urine nitrogen, elevates, which is very common in kidney disease, it does cause vomiting. I'm not familiar with, unless the dog also has gallbladder disease, because ursodiol is used for gallbladder disease. IV fluids for kidney disease and for liver problems is very, very important. So that's important. Now, to do renal K, so yeah, anything like that, there are many supplements. There's Pacitin, that is a phosphate binder. There's ammonium hydroxide is a phosphate binder. There are some things that we often can use as phosphate binders. So I would actually say, look, there's no downside. If phosphorus is high, then you want to use a phosphate binder as well. Do we really know what the benefit's going to be long-term? No, but it's one of those things I say, look, it's not going to hurt. It can only help. So is it worth doing to a dog that's miserable and has high BUN and creatinine and is in kidney disease, if not maybe soon to be kidney failure? We call it CKD, chronic kidney disease. Yes, I would do everything you can to help. So that's what the renal K does. It's a phosphate binder. The Serenia ursodiol is half a day. Yeah, that's Serenia is, as I said, that is for the vomiting. I'm assuming, I don't know if ursodiol is used for kidney disease, but it's certainly used for gallbladder disease. So if on ultrasound, the gallbladder is huge or the bilirubin, the enzymes are high, then yes, I would recommend ursodiol as well. There used to be a fear that if it was a blockage, you shouldn't use it. But I think that is my last conversation with my good friend and colleague who's a boarded internist, that no, it you can use ursodiol anyway. All right. Let me just wave to a few of you here. Right, thank you for joining me. I see a lot of names I don't recognize, which I enjoy. I love that means. So new people, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed to ask questions. I love questions. And we'll answer them as many as we can. Oh, good. A lot of you out here. Yeah, anything you want to ask, now's the time to do it. All right. Janice, how are you? Jill, how you doing? All right. So yeah. So yeah, let's get some questions. In the meantime, while you were getting the courage to ask questions, so I started my day, as I mentioned earlier, to Steve. Many of you are not on. I got a call literally on Thursday from one of the producers over at KTLA. Jeff, can you come by Sunday morning and do a segment on Thanksgiving safety, food, things like that, decorations, candles, and all that stuff. We didn't get to everything, of course, because I talked too much, but it was a really good segment. My typical garb is I live in polo shirts or t-shirts, and now I'm wearing a button-down, which I don't wear very often. However, I actually had a tie on this morning. Well, I'm not showing up here with a tie, but that was the first thing that came off. It's the last thing that went on when I got to the studio, and the first thing that came off when I left the studio. But I'm still wearing the button-down, which I will change as soon as show. But I have to get, just for any of you who live in LA, so I'm in West Side, right? I'm in Beverlywood. I had to hit the 10 freeway to the 110 to the 101, getting off at Sunset, because the studio KTLA is on Sunset near Gower. And then I had to reverse that, but I didn't leave the studio until like 8:35. And I got home at 8:40. So it's a good thing there were no highway patrol chasing me, because definitely I was going a little fast. But no, so, but you know what amazed me? Going there, I was also speeding. I was going over the speed limit, and I was going like maybe 75, even up to 80. And there were cars zooming by me. I'm talking, they must have been going 90 miles an hour. They were in the fast lane, and I'm saying zooming by me. I'm thinking, wait a second, if they stopped me, what about all those guys that zoom past me? That's not fair. But fortunately, what I try to do is, my secret is, I try to pick a pack of cars that are going obviously more faster than the speed limit and just stay in the middle of that pack. That way, if they stop, they're not going to have like six patrol cars getting everybody. I mean, when I go to Mammoth, I do the same trick. And fortunately, knock on wood, I have not yet been stopped. But I don't like to be the only one going so fast. That draws attention. All right. So, okay, let's talk about that. Thank you. Since I just came from a segment, New York Yankee, I appreciate it. And what tests do you recommend to avoid cancer for cats? I know there are some tests now for dogs. I don't know yet if they've gone to cats, but they may have. We could check it out. One's called canine oncogene. There is a test for people. I know that. That is a really good cancer screening. They look at the DNA for certain cancers because we know that many cancers have a genetic basis. In other words, if you don't have a gene for a particular cancer, then it's not going to get turned on. You can't turn it on. Case in point, how many people that you know of, hopefully you don't know personally, because hopefully people you know personally aren't smoking cigarettes like fiends anymore, but that have smoked cigarettes their entire life and live well into their 90s. Okay. Conversely, someone who's never picked up a cigarette and gets lung cancer, maybe secondhand smoke, maybe others. So obviously that gene, that cancer gene, that lung cancer gene is the one that gets turned on. Usually it's by cigarettes if you have it, but it could be other things too. We just don't know enough about it. I remember, and I think I've shared this with you, when one of my mentors from veterinary school, she was triple boarded. Okay. Her name was Barbara Kitchell. She was first did her internal medicine residency. Then she went to oncology. So she was double boarded in veterinary internal medicine, veterinary oncology, medical oncology. Then decided for the heck of it, let me go to Stanford for a PhD program in comparative oncology. And she went to Stanford. She got a PhD in comparative oncology. When I saw her after she finished everything, and I mean, she's amazing, I asked, so what'd you learn? What's your takeaway from your PhD? And two things she said. Number one, it's amazing how little we know still about cancer. And number two, everyone's going after the genetic basis to stimulate the immune system, immunotherapy versus drugs and chemotherapy. Those help. I know a number of people right now that are fighting a very terrible cancer. And yet, how can we turn on the body's own immune system to fight its own cancer? And that's what it's boiling down to. That's where a lot of the research is going right now. So as far as cats, I'm not sure what there is, but something will be around. Just careful screening on a regular basis, x-rays, blood test, maybe an ultrasound, abdominal ultrasound, et cetera. Those things at least can give us a head start. And really knowing your pet, in this case, knowing your cat, when something is off. Unfortunately, with a lot of pets, as we know, and this happened with me and one of my cats, I did not see signs of a sick cat who had literally heart failure until one morning he decided he didn't want to eat, which was very unusual for him. The whole week before, the day before that, chowed his family like just food like normally. I was so concerned because it was so not him. I took him in, and that day, same day, took his x-rays, checked his heart. He was in literally heart failure. His lungs looked like crap, and there were no clinical signs. That's the challenge we have, especially in veterinary medicine, because our patients can't tell me, I just don't feel right, doc. And if they're not coughing or showing signs of the disease, then we have no idea. So it's very frustrating. All right, let's talk do's and don'ts Thanksgiving. You know what? What I'll do is, I hate doing this. They do this in TV commercials all the time. They give you the lead in and they say, oh, we're going to break for commercial because they want to force you to stay. Well, I'm not doing it because of that. I'm doing it because it's 19 minutes after the hour and Mark is giving me dirty looks. So we have to break for a commercial break and I'll come right back and we're going to talk about Thanksgiving do's and don'ts so you and your pets can have a happy, safe Thanksgiving. Don't go away.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back. So during the break, the Pet Life Radio break, we had some good questions. This next one is about, dogs feel pain during euthanasia? You know, again, we don't know. I will pre-treat them with something called Tilazole, very effective. I dilute the actual euthanasia solution. I have found, though it's going straight into the vein through a catheter, that when I first start injecting it, some dogs will like, they'll look at the leg. Like, so I realized that's when I started diluting. And also what I do is I, at the very beginning, maybe it was just the shock of the medication going in because it's different than anything else they felt, I dilute it and I go very, very, very slowly at first. And they seem not to react at all. And it's the most peaceful sleep to watch them go from some of what an alertness to literally just going down, closing their eyes. And the owners, often my owners that are holding their dogs when they're doing it, they, hey, Keith, when they're doing it, they literally, they tell me, they say, he's gone or she's gone. They could feel it. They could feel it in the body. It is the most unbelievable thing. And it is really very, very low incidence of any kind of discomfort. And they just, they go to sleep. So about the fleas, my dog won't stop itching. And then they're in our bed. Oh my God. So you got to get, fleas are a problem still. People think, oh no, it's getting, we had rain here in LA. No more fleas. No, there are fleas. And my favorite, even though there are some people that are, they get bad press because of occasional predisposition to a seizure in dogs that have already shown seizure activity. It doesn't cause seizures, but it can enhance seizure activity in dogs that already have had seizures. And those are the four isoxazolones, and they are Bravecto, Predilio, Simparica, and NexGard. Those four are good. In cats, I still like Revolution. I find that the over-the-counter products with fipronil or omidacloprid, the brand names, the original brand names were Frontline and Advantage and Canine Advantix. They are totally safe, but they don't have the same efficacy or effectiveness as they did almost 20 years ago when they hit the market. And that's the problem. No change in formulation, and they're expecting a formula that is 20 years old to have the same effect on an insect. Insects multiply too rapidly. They have, you know, too many mutations that they then pass on. And now they are laughing at that stuff. So isoxazolines are the answer. Okay. Do I need to worry about splintering bones with cooked chicken feet? Yes, always. Always, always. I would just take the meat off. So let's go back to the question about Thanksgiving. And I thank you, New York Yankee, because that was my segment this morning. So the basics are, first of all, keep any food on the table. Don't have it off the table. If your pets are in the room with you, then don't feed them under the table. Secondly, what to avoid? Fatty foods. So turkey skin, very fatty. Dark meat turkey, fatty. White meat turkey, much less so. So in moderation, without skin, fed not from the table, all right, is doable. Ham is very fatty. You want to try to get a very, very lean ham if you're so inclined to feed ham on Thanksgiving. But again, that could be a problem. It's not always just the meat or whatever it is, the stuffing. Anything with too much fat is the problem. Even though, you know, you take sweet potatoes are fine. But when we recommend giving sweet potato to a dog with diarrhea for colitis, we're talking about, even for a big dog, a tablespoon, not a big hunk with marshmallow on top. So the problem is the dogs like these foods and they don't stop with a one bite. They're going to eat the whole piece if they get a hold of it. So those are things you need to be careful. Let's talk about desserts, things like, and like a fruitcake, chocolate, anything, raisins, grapes, currants. Those are very dangerous for dogs. You got to be very careful. Onions and garlic, potentially toxic. Now, usually when they're cooked, it's not as bad. But even still, if you have a salad, something, you got to be really careful with that as well. Let's talk about desserts again, sugar-free things. Okay. Like if you're rationalizing your chocolate cake because you used sugar-free xylitol instead of sugar. And guess what? Xylitol, highly toxic to dogs and cats, but dogs especially, because cats are a lot smarter. They won't eat this stuff like a dog will. So xylitol, potentially deadly. I think we talked about it before. Bark sugar or birch sugar, they call it, because it comes from the birch tree. And you think, oh my God, it's natural. It's coming from a tree. What could be bad? It could be bad. It's xylitol. It is deadly. So you got to be careful with that as well. And then of course the trash. You got to be really, really careful. You know, people that feed corn on the cob, a corn cob for a dog is literally deadly, because what will happen is they can swallow it. It'll get into the stomach, no problem. Then it goes in, starts its way coursing through the intestine at the beginning, no problem. And then it's going to get stuck somewhere in the ilium or the jejunum. Okay. And that is a problem. It cannot make it through what's called the ileocecal-colic junction. And we are talking a surgical disease. And the damage, by the time you get into surgery, that this corn cob has caused can be lethal. So when you are throwing stuff, the carcasses away, the bones away, remember, soft bones are not good for dogs. They crack easily, right? This is poultry bones, chicken and turkey, and they splinter and they can actually cut stomach. They can cut the intestine. They can cut through the pylorus. Again, be very, very, very careful. So these are the things we try to avoid. And then lastly, a lot of the beverages, eggnog, raw egg, really good eggnog is raw egg. That's just a salmonella waiting to happen. And that's for us too, by the way. Alcohol. Dogs like alcohol. I mean, I had a Labrador in Berkeley when I was in the early 70s, when I was in college. And we found accidentally, he loved beer. We were at a party at a fraternity house. And all of a sudden, some guy's holding his beer down by kind of by his waist. And Thor was a big boy. The guy felt like slopper, you know, beer all over his hands. He looks down and there was Thor lapping up his beer. So he thought it was so cute. Hey, guys, look at this. Look at this. Dog likes beer. And after about three beers, literally Thor was stumbling. So it does affect them. So you want to be careful with alcohol as well. And then also you have decorations, anything with string, you know, you tie the roast and it's got the string around it. Then you just toss that in the garbage, an open garbage. That string is also potentially deadly to cats. Cats love eating string. Candles, any kind of decoration, certain flowers, you know, sweet williams and lilies are potentially dangerous. Oleander is dangerous. So a lot of these decorative ferns, some ferns can be very dangerous. So either they're poisonous or they're very irritative to the gut. So there's so many potential dangers out there that really it's a holiday you want to be careful. Not to mention people coming in and out of the door, dogs freaking out because of the holidays and because of the people. So if you have a dog, one such dog, keep them in a nice private room, give them their own stuff, their own chew toy to play with, you know, maybe throw some music on. Dogs like classical music, believe it or not. They probably like it more than I do. So you want to keep them occupied and make a statement to your guests. Please don't feed the dog because it's not good for the dog. And what we do is we create the problem because once it's done and then the people do it, now the dog learns it. So next time you have any kind of company over for any kind of meal, before you know it, your dog is, you know, sitting with the head on their lap and he's salivating. And no, it's not pretty. I think we mentioned candles, flickering candles is a big issue, especially with cats. So the bottom line is treatment can be pain. Prevention is the best treatment. Don't let it happen in the first place. Now you're aware of all the potential dangers, the damage that can be done. Be proactive. Keep yourself safe. Keep your pet safe. Don't overdo it. And you can have a nice, happy, safe Thanksgiving. Credelio. Yes, Keith, Credelio is good. It's one of the four isoxazolines. It's every 30 days. I like it. It's a once a month. The Bravecto is every 12 weeks. You have the option. It's either monthly or 12 weeks, depending which one you get. And that's the only one that comes both as a pill and a topical. Whereas the Credelio, the NexGard, and the Simparica are only pills, and they're all once a month. And that's because of their typical once a month. All three of them, interestingly, Simparica has Simparica Trio. Credelio and NexGard have Credelio Plus and NexGard Plus. They take care of fleas, ticks, and heartworms. And actually, the NexGard Plus also takes care of intestinal parasites. So they're really enhancing their lines, their products. So, Annie, I've been feeding my dogs raw chicken, fat, feed, lettuce, treats because I have regular store treats just like candy. Can't say anything wrong. Well, not necessarily. I mean, look, a lot of people eat raw food. I eat sushi. I love sushi, as a matter of fact. Now, knock on wood, I've never gotten sick by it, but many people have. It all depends on the dog's own intestinal flora and intestinal health. And can it, again, have you ever cultured any of these foods to see if they have any of the big four, salmonella, E. coli, campylobacter, listeria? No, none of us do. So, yes, if you could just have one such dog that does well, and it's possible that others could feed that exact same diet and their dogs can get sick. And the problem is we have no way to test. So that's why the recommendation is that if you are so inclined, feed raw food that has either been, as I said, pre-treated through freeze drying or high pressure pasteurization. Those do not destroy the nutrient value and it still doesn't affect the taste, but the dogs, it is a safer food to feed. So if you're telling me you're doing this for a long time and you've been fine, then great. But just keep in mind, it still could happen. It could be the quality of food that you're feeding is good. And therefore, it's almost like, you know, you're not going to buy fish in the market and eat it raw. You're right. So that's my point. Let's see. Raw chicken, healthy for dogs. Hips. I'm not sure. You know, any food, you know, for hips has to, you know, we talk about the glucosamines, the chondroitins. Those are the foods that seem to help healthy joints. I don't think that these proteins are going to help. It's a good question, though. I have to look into that. I have not seen any articles that saying, you know, even any kind of protein meat is going to help hips. But anyway, just keep these things in mind. All right. Anyway, thank you for joining me. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We will see you next Sunday here on Pet Life Radio on Instagram Live. I'm so happy to be here. If you have any questions during the week, this is for both audiences, please get a hold of me. You can get a hold of me at Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com or here at Werbs_DVM. Always, you can get a hold of me personally on AirVet. Put in Jeff's, JEFF'S, telehospital as your primary hospital. Then you can send me a chat directly to me and I will call you. We can talk live video chat. Make sure you have your pets with you. Other than that, have a great week. Thanks for joining me here on Pet Life Radio and on Instagram Live. And as I said, save your questions up because I love answering questions. We can do like AMAs, ask me anything. That's how I feel about this. So we'll see you next week. Have a great week.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.